Hello all, let me welcome you back and let us continue our exciting journey of enterprise solutions. Today we will look at chapter 4, which is supplier relationship management. Supplier relationship management, or SRM as it is popularly called, plays a very important role in the overall journey of a product. When we talk about SRM, so SRM can be a module in the overall ERP and the entire scheme of things. Now SRM does is it stands for, as I said, supplier relationship management. Now why is this management important, or why are the suppliers important, right? So we spoke about banks, right? And for a bank, the customers are really important. All the transactions that a customer would do in terms of the fixed deposits, savings accounts, loans, etc., help the generation of revenue for a bank. So customers are obviously important, but then suppliers are also equally important, right? So again, taking the example of a manufacturing company, a car can be sold to an end customer only when the goods are sourced from the right suppliers, right? Goods are sourced from the right suppliers at the right cost, at the right time, and these are incorporated in the production line, right? So suppliers that way are really important. So the SRM systems help to maintain synergistic relationships with the suppliers and the vendors. It is really important to take special care to maintain such kind of efficient relations, cost-effective relations, create a win-win environment for the suppliers as well as the organization, so that everyone is profitable. Now, the SRM systems help to keep the users and the suppliers on a single platform. And it also importantly monitors the performance of the suppliers. And it helps to highlight if there are any gaps or if there are any poor performances that an organization receives. So then it helps to keep the suppliers also intact. It helps to maintain, as I said, synergistic relationship in terms of maintaining those contracts. So periodic checks, as I just mentioned, on the rate contracts, on the pricing negotiations, on knowing the supplier financial health, right? It is really important. So say for example, if I am say a fast food chain, say McDonald's, right? For me, an important ingredient is mayonnaise. I source the mayonnaise from a supplier, right? So for a company, it makes sense not to have everything made by itself, but then source some of these goods from people who are better in that particular industry. So again, taking an example of McDonald's, so McDonald's is good for good in terms of collating things, right? So say in a burger, mayonnaise is a key ingredient, so it will source the ingredient from a supplier. Now it is important to know that who is supplying, obviously, but then how is the financial health. So it shouldn't happen that one fine day that particular supplier just vanishes and I'm left out of stock. It is important to keep the quality checks, and that is the point that I was making by monitoring the health of the supplier and keeping a check on the quality. It is really important to know that the supplier is giving you the right goods at the right price. So typically from a company perspective, it will have two or three or more suppliers depending on how the importance of that particular goods or services is for that company. So again, McDonald's would have two or three suppliers, or he would have a backup of that supplier. So in case if there are any urgent situation, if there are any sourcing challenges for that supplier, if there are any financial challenges for that supplier, or if a supplier is across the globe, if there are any geopolitical tensions, so my business should not suffer, right? So that is the whole crux of the supplier relationship management. Have a highly profitable and a highly synergistic relationships with the suppliers and the vendors, and ensure that there are more suppliers so that your business keeps running with a going concern, and you delimit your risks through these relationships. Okay, so moving ahead, the supplier relationship management is a comprehensive approach to maintain enterprise's interaction with the organization that supply the goods and services. The role of SCM is to streamline and make the processes more efficient between enterprise and its suppliers. So just like the heart or the main crux of a CRM solution is, or the customer relationship management is, to have a very positive and a synergistic relationships between the organization and the customer, the supplier relationship management has a very positive relationship with the suppliers. So as I said, the SRM strives to have better processes in place to have a win-win situation for both, and it ensures that a healthy and a trustworthy relationship exists between the company and the suppliers, so that the business keeps going, everyone has some good amount of profits, and it has a good relations for the trust, right? So even when the business goes to through a downturn, then these relationships would help to leverage and ride the low tide. Say for example, there are so many small industries where they would not have a proper supplier relationship management in place, but then those contracts and those relationships and the trust factors is already there in place, so that even if the industry is going through a turmoil or the organization is going through a turmoil, you have a very strong partner behind you, a very strong supplier behind you, right, who will supply things when you need them the most. So say if you are expecting, or you are not expecting as such, so say if there is a demand surge in the market and you have a very stringent relationship with the supplier saying that I would supply goods say only for, say for example, only 30 kgs in a month. Now because of some reason you see a lot of demand in the market for which you have to have a lot of supplies. Again, just to take an example, say McDonald's, right? So McDonald's have opened up their outlet somewhere in Mumbai, and generally the sales of burgers are close to say 2000 burgers per day, right? Now because of some kind of say government regulations or some kind of other regulations, the two or three restaurants around the area, they have shut shop. Either they financially got burst, or there was some litigation filed by the municipality or something of that sort, but then those restaurants have gone burst. So suddenly what has happened is there has been a increased demand for burgers in that particular area. Now if there is a good relationship with the supplier, now for the burgers, mayonnaise again is a key ingredient, right? So if there is a good relationship, a trust-based relationship to meet this market demand, there'll be suppliers who can supply it, right? So that the business keeps running and everyone has good profits in the end. So supplier relationships there are different kinds of relationship that can exist between a supplier and an organization, right? So one is the arm's length relationship. So arm's length relationship is basically a business deal in which the buyers and the sellers act independently. So they act as their own entities and they do not have relationship to each other. So they act as independent vendors or independent parties, right? So this is not a very collaborative relationship as such. So you'll ask me, give me an example. A typical example is that of any real estate deal, right? So what happens in a real estate deal, there is a buyer, there is a seller. They are absolutely independent of each other. So again, one is a supplier who supplies the flat, and then there is a buyer who actually buys the flat, right? So these are two independent organizations or independent people. or independent entities. They will not have any kind of financial linkages. They will not have any kind of mutual trust-based relationship, or they will not have a previous baggage of relationship. So this is a typical example of an arm's length relationship. So it so in terms of the SCM as a function, it is at the lowest level, right? So there is absolutely no trust because these are unknown parties, right? And they haven't dealt with one another in the past. So there is absolutely no relation in between them. It's just a very simple buyer and a seller relationship. Next is a product or a service provider. So say considering an example of say automotive industry, you require a lot of skilled resources, and there is a organization which supplies these resources to the automobile company, right? So that's a service provider. So he provides resources to the company, so he has some inroads in the organization's business model as such. But then yes, so it's just a supplier, but then it is at another level than just an arm's length. Then there is a solution provider, which has a very key interest in the entire organization. So typical example would be that of a IT company. Again, taking example of the Cisco's or the HP's or the Dell's of the world, right? The way a Cisco would work is that it doesn't sell directly to its customer, but then it does it through a system integrator, which is nothing but a solution provider. So a solution provider would take all the equipments and the gears and the IT infrastructure from Cisco. It will give it to the end customer. It will stitch an entire solution around it and just utilize the boxes or the equipment or the hardware devices from Cisco and deliver this solution to the customer. So this is an example of an end customer. And last is the partnership. So I think this is very simple, right? A partnership firm, any kind of tax companies or any auditors. So there are a lot of partners that come into place. They work together, and depending upon what the relationship and what are the financial terms, it could be either 50-50, 30-40, whatever, right? And there's a proper partnership in place. So these are the different kinds of the supplier organization relationship that exists in the market. Now let us look at some of the business processes that are there in SRM. So the success of supplier relationship management depends upon the collaboration, as we spoke about, amongst the enterprise internal and the external suppliers, and the collaboration across the different sourcing strategies, management and the governance. So it is really important that on one hand the SCM, that is the supply chain management, is a function that helps to bring the suppliers closer to the organization. But then SRM, or the supplier relationship management, as a function which is a part of the SCM function, it is cohesively linked to the overall scheme of things, right? So that all the internal stakeholders, so say for example, if there's a finance who has to clear the bills of a supplier, he is properly onboarded. That is the finance function as such is properly onboarded. If there is IT as a function, then the IT systems have to be properly linked for the end supplier as well as the organization, right? They have to be linked together so as to function on a single platform. And obviously the internal stakeholders that we spoke about, so it could be the marketing guys, it could be the finance guys, the HR guys, and the top management, right? And obviously there is an important governance layer to keep a check on the different supplier policies. So these checks could be in terms of the product checks, it could be in terms of the financial checks, it could be in terms of the time that is taken to deliver the goods, and the different rates and all. So there is governance, there are internal stakeholders, and there are the different parties that are involved in the entire SRM framework. So as we discussed, SRM includes both business practices and software, and is a key part in the SCM function. So SRM provides an input. So in the last chapter we saw we had a deep discussion on SCM, that is the supply chain management. Now, in the entire value chain, in the supply chain function, the suppliers we discussed are a key part, and the SRM as a function is a key part in the SCM. So SRM increases the efficiency of the processes associated with acquiring the goods and services, managing the inventory and processing the materials, right? So it has very key inputs for the SCM, and it helps the SCM function to be more profitable. Now let us assess the need for SRM, right? We spoke about what is SRM, how it impacts the business, but the key question remains is there a real need, or because there are vendors who have created the software modules, that is the only reason that I am talking about. So let us assess if there is a need. So SRM, why is it important? Why is it useful? One is, we spoke about the quality checks, right? So the level of the different quality checks, the consistency. Second is the delivery. When the supplier delivers the goods to you, is the delivery predictable? Is it consistent? Has the goods and services been delivered on time? Has the supplier lived up to its promise? Third and the most critical part is the price and the cost, right? So we spoke about McDonald's having one supplier of mayonnaise, but then that particular supplier, is it delivering the mayonnaise at the right cost, or there are other suppliers in the market who can deliver at the same cost or probably at a lesser cost, so that my input cost comes down and the overall cost of the product comes down, so that I can either pass on these pricing benefits to the customer, or I can have those pricing advantages to the organization and increase my profit. And last is the transaction efficiency. So we spoke about the ease of doing business. Are the IT systems and processes well defined for the supplier to get integrated with the organization? How easy is it to do business? Consider an example where a supplier is across the globe. Say there is an auto ancillary supplier which is based out of Japan, and my automotive company is based in India, right? So is there a right level of transparency which is kept? Now obviously a supplier will not share its business expertise with you, and it is not expected for a company to know that. But then, is the right level of transparency kept in terms of handling the financial transactions or supplying the goods, right? So four critical aspects that we looked at: one is quality, one is the delivery, the total price, and the transparency. Some of the other key areas are the value additions. Now the supplier gives these things to you, but what are the different value adds? Is it able to understand your business model and cater to some of these needs? That is an important value add, right? Is the supplier able to bring some innovation in the products or the services that it is giving? Logistics, manufacturing and the services needs play an important role. And the scale of procurement is really important. So if I have to scale my production line, right, how do I scale the raw material input from the supplier? So that is a key part. And last is the assurance of supply. Because we saw how a governance framework is needed in place to see that the suppliers are doing the right stuff. So the output of that particular function is the assurance, right? Assurance of the supply. We took examples of different businesses where they need services from the suppliers. So you need to have that guarantee, that confidence that, you know, the supplier would be able to give you the goods which are of good quality at a optimal price. They're able to add some value adds, they're innovative in their approach, they have a good financial reporting mechanism, they're transparent in their behavior, they have good logistics framework, right? So all these factors included make a supplier a real trusted partner to the company, and that is how you have a synergistic relationship between the supplier and the organization. But is it one way? No, it is not one way. So even the organization needs to have such kind of behavior so that even the suppliers feel confident, right? Now, it is very critical to know that you should not treat your supplier just as any other vendor, because if the supplier is a key part, and you should understand that he's a key part of your business, he's an asset to your business. Just like a customer is a key asset to your business, even a supplier is a key asset, right? So this change in mindset has to happen in an organization to actually value a supplier and not just treat them as just a vendor. And that is the need of the trust of integration, trust of the interactions with the suppliers, and how it can change the way a business is, business happens. So SRM focus also comes in the event of a sourcing opportunity, a looming sourcing opportunity. So in case of price inflation, say for example, a price inflation in case of an economic boom, right? So do you have the suppliers to help you or assist you during that? In the reverse, it is also important when the manufacturing is going through a weak cycle, then the vendors and the suppliers are there in place. So it can be two way, as we just spoke about. So in times when everything is good, the sun is shining, then you should have those relationships in place. But even when there are dark times, even then the relationships are something that will help you to, you know, get the business forward. And this is not just true for any business, but in life in general, right? If you have highly synergistic relationships with your peers, then in terms of uptrend or a downtrend, you will actually sail through. So from a strategic point, let us come back to SCM, right? The primary role in the initiative for projected requirements and leveraging market conditions is to reap the best benefits and minimize the risk. Okay, we'll now have a look at the SRM business processes. So while there are different types of formal and informal relations that can exist between a supplier and an organization, so let us look at some of those pricing led relationships. So one is, there's a price relationship obviously between a supplier, because it's a supplier to your organization, but then there is a informal cooperation of the prices. So just to give you an example, so say for example, if I have a supplier, right, I don't have a negotiated contract with that supplier for the prices of the raw material or the goods or the services that he's giving me, but then there is an informal level of understanding, right? The next is a long-term or a formal relationship. So once a supplier is onboarded, right, you could have a formal written commitment from him or from that organization, to be specific, with regards to the pricing contracts. Now this could be in the form of a rate contract, so that even if there is a pricing fluctuation in terms of the raw material prices, the rate at which the supply has to be made or, to the organization is constant. So these are the long-term rate contracts or the negotiated pricing contracts that exist. In case of the previous one, because you've just kind of onboarded the supplier, or you've not really onboarded, but then you're just trying to evaluate. So that means there's an informal understanding that, assuming if the raw material prices go up by 5%, I will not charge you anything from a supplier's perspective. But in the second case, where there is a formalized rate contract, there could be terms in the rate contract which would mention things like, if the price of, just to give you an example, iron ore, right? So if the price of the iron ore increases by 20% in the global market, or if the price of iron ore trading in the commodity exchange increases by 20%, then the supplier will pass on the increased prices to the organization by, say, 12%, 15%, whatever, right? So such kind of terms can be mentioned in the commercial contract or the rate contract. But in the previous one, it's more of an informal relationship. The third is the total cost relationship. Now, mind you, the first and the second one were just a contract or a relationship which is basis just the price. But the third is basis the cost. Now, why the cost? Because this is the input cost to the company. Now, understand the fact that when you talk about a cost relationship, then the supplier is no longer treated as an independent supplier, or the relationship is not just at an arm's length, but he is a very much integral part of the core business as such, right? And that is why the supplier also takes a keen interest in terms of maintaining the overall cost of the end product. Now, although it's not a supplier's prerogative to be a part of the overall end price that the company might charge to its customers, but then the supplier plays a key role as far as the cost structure is concerned, and that is at a higher level than the price relationship. And last is the opportunity-led or the sourcing contracts. Now, these are even higher, right? Now, suppose assuming the fact that an entire sourcing contract is given to a supplier, and the supplier in turn might have many different vendors of itself to supply that things to itself. But then what the organization has done is it has entered into a completely sourcing contract or outsourcing contract where all the components are given to that supplier, right? So it's taking the supplier organization relationship to a newer level, right? Now, basis this relationship, the SRM or the process can be categorized into 9 different subcategories, right? So we understood that suppliers are a key to organization. You need to have trust relationships. There needs to have a win-win proposition and things like that. But let us look at the sub-processes of the business process in a SRM. So first is obviously the procurement intelligence, where the supplier stands as compared to the other suppliers in the market. So that's the intelligence that the procurement function brings in. Second is the project management, the overall timelines of a project, when it is getting delivered, how it is getting delivered, is there enough raw materials in place, is there enough finished goods in place, are there enough skilled resources to complete that project. The third is the sourcing, right? Now, sourcing, obviously, we all understand it's a key component. It could be in the form of e-tendering that we spoke about in SCM, right? So, no longer a hard paper line structure, but then online e-tendering process where the suppliers can send their bids in the form of an e-proposal, and there could be an online auction. Nowadays, auction is very common in terms of a reverse auction. So what an organization would typically do is, assuming that the price of say a good is at say 200 rupees, right, and it has received bids from all the different vendors, the bid price range might be from say 150 rupees to say 1000 rupees, right? So it will start an online reverse auction. Right, so it will start with a reverse auction price, say 500 rupees, and gradually the company will decrease the price so that the bidders who are interested might bid. So it's just like an auction, but then it's a reverse auction. In a normal auction, what happens is that the price increases, correct? But in case of a reverse auction for an organization, the price of the particular goods or the services that it is trying to procure, it will go on reducing. And there could be intervals in which by which that price could get reduced. So it's a complete part of a auction procedure. Then there are other sub-processes like the supplier management, the different terms through which the supplier gets managed. There are contractual obligations that needs to be managed. Then there is catalog management, the different goods and the services that are supplied, how they are cataloged and how it is managed. Then on ground, it's the operational management. Then there are external resources. So it could be third party auditors. It could be the financial agencies. It could be the governance bodies. And the last is the BPO process, the entire business process outsourcing, how the entire outsourcing procurement is happening. It's also a key part in the entire business process.